I want to read in preparation for the Lord's table the first eight verses of the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And what I want to do this afternoon is really prepare us for several Lord's table services by looking at the revelation of Jesus Christ as it's given later on in John's description of him. Begins in the first chapter, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. And we all say, Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. And we all say, Amen. What we have here in this book is a faithful witness from the one who is the true witness. And we noted that as we read in verse 5 when it says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He is the faithful witness, not of his own self, but he is the faithful witness of God himself. Sometimes we'll talk about, as believers, we'll make some statement like this. Well, I want to be a good testimony. Have you ever said that? I've said that. I think most of us have said that. What you're saying is that I want to be a good witness, a testifier, a testimony. Now, what the Bible means by that isn't what I think most of us think when we say that. We think, I want to be a good testimony. That is, I want to pay my bills. I want to be honest. I want to walk in a moral fashion. Well, that is not what Jesus means when he says that he is the faithful witness. What he means by this, and folks, what we should mean by this, is that we are, as much as is possible in this life, an accurate reflection of him in all things that we do. Not a good testimony of ourselves, right? That's what the world does. But a testifier of the one we love and who has saved us. So if we're going to be a faithful witness, if we're going to have a good testimony, we are to be an accurate reflection of the one who has saved us. That is being a good what? A good testimony before other people. Now, the fact of the matter is that you and I are not a full and complete testimony or a full and complete witness of him, are we? I could say this, as James would say, in many things we fail. Would you agree with that? But there is one person who did not fail. And that is the one that we are to be reflections thereof. It is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Look at it again in verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. Who is He witnessing of? Who is He witnessing of? God, or God the Father, if you want to be very exact about that. This truth is also repeated in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14 when he talks to the church at Laodicea. It says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. So not only is he a faithful witness, that is, he is faithfully portraying exactly who God is in all things, but he is the true witness of those things, right? He's not only faithful in doing it, he is the true witness of the one true and living God. So as we mentioned before, if we want to know about God, who is a spirit and he is invisible, who can we look to? Well, we can look to the faithful and true witness. Who is that? That is the Son of God in human flesh. That is Jesus Christ himself. And folks, that is an encouragement to us, isn't it? It is hard to see that which is invisible. But can we see Jesus? We can't see Him with our eyes today, but we see Him through the words of God, right? We come to know Him. He walked on earth. He did certain things. He is the accurate reflection of all that God is. Or as I mentioned this morning, He is the exegesis of God. To see Him is to see God, for they are one. Now, folks, that truth that He is the true and faithful witness, that He is the true and faithful testimony, matches up with the object of this book. Note in verse 1 of Revelation 1, it says concerning this book that it is the what of Jesus Christ? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if He reveals something to us, He is revealing something to us about who? God, because He is the true and faithful witness. And so here in this book, you say, well, what is this final book in our New Testament? It seems to be awful hard to understand, and there are things hard to understand in here. But what is this book about? What is its object? It is the revelation of not merely in things. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is going to show us things that He is doing or will be doing in the future. But it is the revelation of Him. God wants us to see Him in this book. So that is the object and the focus. And that revelation, look at verse 1 again, that revelation which God gave Him. Who's the Him there? Jesus Christ. So who showed this to the Son? God revealed this. He testified of this to the Son, and the Son is going to accurately testify that to who? Well, look at the verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show or to reveal to His bondservants. Or if we relate this to Psalm 110, to His people. So what is this book about? Is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who gave it to Jesus Christ? God gave it to him, and God gave it to him for him to give it to us for this reason. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, number one, the things which must soon take place. Everybody see that? The things that must soon take place. And he sent, that is Jesus Christ, and he sent and communicated that revelation of himself by his angel to his bondservant, John. That's a real chain of revelation, isn't it? So let's kind of follow this. Where is the revelation originating? God. He showed it to Jesus Christ. He sent the revelation by his angel to John. Everybody see that? That's a four-step process, as it were, right? He sent it to John. What did John do, verse 2? He testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. So we could word it this way. God the Father revealed things to God the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to reveal God and what he gave to him. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he wants to show it to his bondservants, and I'm just going to use the word believers. He wants to show it to his people. How does he do that? Christ sent it by his angel to his bondservant, John. Now, John was an apostle. John received that revelation through this chain, and then he gave it to who? To believing people. Everybody see that? Okay? So there's the process. To that apostle, John. What a glorious process that is. Well, folks, how did John communicate it to us? He wrote it down, right? You're reading it, aren't you? Okay, now just think about that process. You're reading something that John wrote down by inspiration, by the Holy Spirit of God, as he was moved by the Holy Spirit and as he saw this vision. He wrote it down. That revelation was given to John by Messiah's angel. Messiah's angel had it communicated to him by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ received it from God the Father. Is that not supernatural? That is supernatural, and we have it written down and translated so that we can read it. Hallelujah for that. And folks, that typically is the process. God reveals it to the Son, and the Son reveals it to his people. And he does it in the New Testament through apostolic witness. That's not going to happen today, right? You're not going to go home. You're not going to see an angel. The angel's going to tell you something like, who's the Mormon? Joseph Smith, who said, I saw the angel. Sorry, Mariah. Mariah. And they communicated to me all this new revelation, right? No. That was a figment of his imagination. Even history proves that. That doesn't happen. But do we have what Jesus Christ desired to reveal to us? Yes, and we have it written down by inspiration in the Greek New Testament, translated into our own language. Hallelujah for that. And so the object of this book is to give that revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we said, or I said, that revelation, which was written down by the Apostle John, was communicated to believers. And we saw that. Look at verse 1 again. God gave him, Jesus Christ, because God desired to show to his who? His bondservants. His slaves, as it were. So the destination was to his people. But that's not the only destination. Look at verse 4. John, to who? The seven churches that are in Asia. Everybody see that? Okay. So what we know at this point is that we have the object of the book. We know how the book was communicated to us. But what was its destination? Well, first of all, we said that its destination was the Messiah's people. Does everybody see that? Okay. Now we're saying, John's saying, that the destination is to the seven what? Seven churches. And of course he says that, and then go over to chapter 2, look at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write. Look at verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write. Look in verse 12. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write. Look at verse 18. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write. Look in chapter 3, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. Verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, do what? Write. Okay, so everybody see that. So where is this book being sent? It's being sent to his bondservants. Amen. And it's also being sent to the churches. Specifically, seven churches in John's day. And folks, that means this. Where are his bondservants? Where are those bondservants gathering? In his what? In his churches. Does everybody see that? Okay. The only way that I can send a revelation to his bondservants and then turn around and say, I'm going to send it to the churches, is if the bondservants are where? They are gathered in the church. In other words, a church is to be a gathering of bondservants. And God has sent not just this revelation, but he has sent the New Testament for the benefit and purpose of his people. And they are gathered in local New Testament what? Churches. And we noted that in chapter 1 and in chapter 4 that it was to his servants and to those seven churches. Now I want you to go to the end of this book. I want you to go to chapter 22. And I want to answer the same question. In Revelation chapter 22, I want you to look at verse 6. And he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show who the things that must soon take place. Everybody see that? Isn't that what was said in chapter 1? Okay. Now I want you to go down further in this chapter, and I want you to go to verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the... So how did he start off the book? Well, it's to be the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? And it involved God the Father showing something to God the Son, and God the Son taking that exact revelation and sending it for the benefit of His people by an angel, His angel, to the Apostle John, so that John could write it down for the benefit of his servants who are gathered in churches. What does the end of this book say? It says the exact same thing, doesn't it? Look at verse 6 again. He sent his angel to show to his bondservants the things which would soon take place. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. So where are God's people gathered? They're gathered in the churches. Now, folks, I think that is significant for us, because there is, and people have communicated this to me, but there is a large group of people out there that say the church is not needful. All right, here we have a revelation from Jesus that is for the benefit of His people, believing people. And where does He send that writing by the Apostle John? He sent it to seven churches. And we noted that when we read this, look at chapter 2 for an example, verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write these things. He wrote it down, didn't he? And then he sent it to those churches. What were the churches supposed to do with this? In other words, if we were up here tonight, all of a sudden there was a knock on the back door. This isn't going to happen. But there's a knock on the back door, and there's someone who says, we have a message from the Apostle John, who's on the Isle of Patmos. What would you do? I would say, bring it here. And I would take the scroll, and I would unloose the seal, right? And I would roll it out. And what would you want me to do? You would want me to read it, would you not? And folks, that is exactly what this book says to do. Look at verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is what? The time is near. Now let's just pause. Everybody looking at that verse? Okay. Blessed is who? What's the word?
He.
Now let me ask you this. Singular or plural? Everybody agree with that? I'm not trying to hold an English grammar class, okay? There's reason behind this, okay? It's singular. Blessed is he who reads, and what who hear? All right, I'm going to ask you another question. Singular or plural? Plural. I mean, you would expect, if it wasn't sent to a church, which was a group of God's professing people, you would think it would read this. Blessed is he who reads and he who hears. Does it say that? It doesn't say that. Now, hold on a minute. I'm not negating you reading your Bible at home. Right? What I'm saying is that he sent this revelation, and he sent it for the benefit of God's people to be read in local New Testament churches. So if that's the case, and it is, who is the he in verse 3? Well, if you're going to stick with the language that we have here, you would say it's the angel of the church, right? And folks, in our Bible, the Greek term angelos can refer to a literal supernatural angel. In other words, there's a class of beings that most of the time are invisible to us, who are ministers of the Son of God on behalf of his people, and you've never seen them. And if you did see one, it would be unaware. You would not be aware of it. But there's also a sense in which the angelos is what the word is defined as. It is a messenger. And the New Testament says that John the Baptist was an angelos. Now, was he an angel? I mean, was he a literal supernatural being coming in, going out? Or was he a man? He was a man. What was he doing? He was being a messenger of the revelation of God, right? So when he writes this in Revelation chapter 2 and to the other seven churches, when it says, to the angel of the church, I take that to mean the elder or the pastor or the overseer or the one that is responsible for communicating written revelation to God's people. And folks, have you ever read in Timothy, where Paul wrote to Timothy in the church, he said, give attention to reading. Do you think he was saying to Timothy, hey, go in your library, pull out some books and get you a nice easy chair, maybe get a glass of tea, and just sit there and just read? You think he was saying that? No, the context is behavior in a local church. What was Paul intending Timothy to do? To publicly read the revelation that Jesus Christ had sent to his apostles that had been written down, and to read it for the benefit of God's who? For God's people. Everybody see that? So what we have here is, blessed is he, I take that to be the angelos, the messenger, the pastor, the one that is doing preeminently the preaching. Blessed is the pastor. I'm just going to put the word pastor there. I'll just say the preaching pastor, okay? Blessed is the preaching pastor who reads. And who are the those? It has to be the gathered people of who? Of God. So, according to the head of the church, Jesus Christ, is church needful? I mean, folks, if you were living in that day and you weren't in church when that scroll from John was read, would you miss out anything? Yes or no? Yes. They didn't say, oh, here comes the scroll. Let's see, we got 100 members, so let's sit down and make 100 copies. Okay. Now, they would do that, and let's give it to everybody so they can individually read. No, Christ desired his words to be read. And folks, if I read those words to you, what would you want me to do? I mean, folks, what is natural about this? What would you want me to do if I was reading these words in Revelation?
Explain.
Yeah, you may want to hear the whole letter. I may read the whole letter to you and then we might dismiss. But what would you eventually want me to do? You would want me to explain and expound them, would you not? That's the main thing that should be going on in a New Testament assembly that Jesus Christ desires for it to do. So, blessed is he, that is the preaching pastor, who reads, and those who hear, are you hearing the words of the prophecy in context, this book, but certainly in application to all the revelation that Jesus Christ has sent, who hear the words of the prophecy, all right, and now what should those who hear do? What does it say in verse 3? Give heed. What does that mean? That means to obey it, right? I mean, parents, you don't want your children just to listen to you and be able to repeat back what you said to them. You want them to what? You want them to take action on it, right? And that's what our Lord desires. So we're talking about, all right, what is the will of the head of the church? The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And we're going to be partaking of His table. This table has come to us by revelation. Paul told the Corinthians, I'm giving to you what was given to me. Everybody hear that? Okay. Paul wrote it down to the Corinthians, intending for what he wrote in that epistle to be read in the church. And I would say expounded on. And for those who hear that word, that revelation, it was to be obeyed or acted upon. And folks, that's basically the essence of what we're doing. Why are we doing this table in remembrance of Him? Why are we doing it? Did He reveal it? Okay. He said to do it. So what should we do as a church? We should take heed and do it. All right? Did He say this? Give attention to reading. Why do we have a scripture reading in our services? Is it because I just like that? Is it because, well, you know, they've done it in the past, let's do it now? Why are we having a scripture reading? Because the head of the church said what? To do it. Everybody following me? When I left my previous ministry, one of the questions that was asked to my deacons is, why do you have an extended time of reading the scripture? And I don't know all that they said, but I'm like, they could have just turned to a verse. Right? Why do we do the things we do? We're trying to obey. So we have a scripture reading. Should there be prayer in a local New Testament church? Does Timothy tell us to do that? First of all, have entreaty for those who are in rule over you, for kings and authorities, right? Why? Because God desires all men to be saved. Why do you have a prayer time? Why do we have prayer on Wednesday night? Because the head of the church said to do so. Why do we open our Bibles and give extended time to trying to understand what He has said? Because that is the pattern. In fact, when did John receive this revelation? Folks, when did he receive this revelation? He was in the Spirit on what day? The Lord's Day. When did the other church gather? Well, probably some of them gathered daily. Probably some of them gathered three times a week. Maybe they gathered more. Maybe they gathered less. But what day did they gather on? On the Lord's Day. And so folks, as we come to this, what I want us to see is that this book of Revelation is a revelation not merely of things in the future, although you might see that when you read through there. It is what God wants you to see is the revelation of Him. And that's really what the book is all about. It's about what He's doing in the heavenlies coming to earth. And He desires us to believe those words because those words have come to us by inspiration of John, from God the Father to God the Son to God the Son's angel to God the Son's apostle to God the Son's people. And those people are gathered in God the Son's churches. And He desires for that revelation to be read on at that time with those gathered people. Not the only time, but definitely when. Definitely at that time. So that we can give heed to those words. And we can walk out with a changed life. Let's close our eyes as we prepare for